Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Sponsored by First Horizon. Big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning.
What happened to my biscuit? I hear from people all the time, another biscuit? Yeah! Well, I don't even know what I was saying. It's gone.
Now you'll hear about a ghost runner on second.
Chase has erased my biscuit from the show.
We just need buns now.
Nice, Keyser. What a way to go.
I didn't think that the biscuit opening was buns.
I remember when I cut the ghost runner on third and second, honestly.
Yeah.
That was over the summertime. Yeah,
so this is your fault.
I think it was when PK was here, too.
No, I think the ghost runner was from a couple weeks ago when we were talking about the golden at bat rule.
No.
He was just yelling about all of it. Oh, I think it was.
Maybe. Maybe it was, yeah.
I mean, I'm repetitive, so it's very possible you're both right, actually. I don't have a lot of new things to say.
Titans lose yesterday. They fall to 3-14, the number one overall pick. A lot of your reaction already. We'll continue to take it throughout the show. Paul Kuharsky will be with us at 7:30. Corey Curtis coming up at 8 o'clock. We're going to get right back to the phone line here in just a few minutes. But before we do, let's just revisit where we were about a year ago at this time. Titans had moved on from Mike Vrabel. Rand Carthon sticking around. Will Levis looking promising heading into the next year. Everything was coming up roses for the Titans as they were shifting into a new era before they had hired Brian Callahan. Here was Titans owner A.B. Adams Strunk at the end of last season.
I have high expectations, and I'll never apologize for that. And these fans deserve a great team, and they deserve a championship brought to the city. And that's what we're going to work towards. And I'm prepared to make the hard decisions to hopefully get us there sooner. This team has a bright future. We have Rand. We have a promising young quarterback. I mean, the sky's the limit. We've got cap space. We've got a great draft position. Things are bright for the Titans. I'm really very, very optimistic. And I'd like to thank the fans for hanging with us this year. Our season was unacceptable, but we're going to get there. We're going to get there sooner rather than later.
My goodness, that is pure gold.
A year later. 9-minute run.
Here we are.
We have Ryan.
For now,
we have an exciting young quarterback.
Whip, that one's gone. A year later,
cap space
still
they
have cap space.
Spend a lot of money.
They
still did
have some
spend
cap space.
Money.
So, how about that? What a year ago to where we are now?
Like, what if someone told her right after that you're going 3-14 next year,
and this young quarterback will display fully that he is not the guy?
Oh boy, That is a toughie, as they say. By the way, Keith, real quick on the text line, my kids in the car just asked me, what happened to another biscuit? Chase is not giving the people what they want.
The children are very upset. Let's head back.
I'll just say it on my own every day now. Another biscuit? Yeah.
Maybe we could get some biscuits. Let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Brandon to the program. Brandon, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, good morning, guys. You know, over the past few weeks, I've heard you guys go back and forth on this front office and this coaching staff. Well, today is the day. I kind of want to hear a definitive answer from you guys. Do you think that this front office is capable, or do you trust them to handle the first overall pick? And if they draft a quarterback, do you think this coaching staff is capable of developing a quarterback? I'm going to hang up and listen. Thank you.
Yep, thanks for the call, Brandon. My answer is no. No, I do not trust this front office to make the right decisions. I think that what we've seen over the last couple of years demonstrates that they do not make the right decisions anywhere near often enough. And quite frankly, with the coach right now, you know, I've generally been operating under the standpoint of 1 year, really too early to make a definitive statement either way on Brian Callahan, but it was a lot of bad this year, a lot of bad. And I'm not totally convinced that Brian Callahan is a bad coach. I'm not totally convinced that Brian Callahan doesn't have what it takes to develop a quarterback. But I also don't love the idea of moving on from the front office and retaining the head coach. I'm more of the idea of If you're going to move on from one, get rid of them all, and let's get a new regime in here. So that's my answer as we sit here today on Black Monday.
Yeah, and look, obviously I've been put in the I want them back crowd, apparently. That's how I am defined. You've been saying clean house. I've been saying I wouldn't clean house, but do I trust them? My God, no. I don't trust anything over there. I don't trust anything over there to go well at all. Did you just hear the owner that we played? I mean, I have no trust for anything. Okay, so let's say. So you got four possibilities, right? I guess. I mean, you have do nothing.
Yep.
You have coach. You have front office. You have split the front office and keep part of it, but fire part of it. Of those four, rank them in order of dumbness.
I think splitting the front office may be at the top of the dumbness.
It's pretty dumb.
I think it's pretty stupid to do that.
She wouldn't be that dumb, right?
I don't know. I guess my number two would probably be doing nothing. Like, you can't, to me, 3-14.
I thought
at the
that
end
was going to be not your number one.
Yeah, like 3-14 at the end, how bad it was. Like, it would be to me. Like, you gotta shake up something. But again, like, it gets back to, like, to me, if you're gonna move on from the front office, like, are you really just saying, all right, well, here's the head coach and here's the new GM coming in? I would operate from the standpoint, if you're moving on from the front office, whatever the GM you hire next is, what do you think of the coach? Do you think Callahan deserves another year? If you do, we'll operate that way. If you don't, we'll make a change. The problem is, if you fire the front office today, then you got to go hire a GM, and then the GM has to come in and make that determination. And if he does determine that he doesn't want Brian Callahan, you're 2 weeks down the road
right
at that point, and some of the good coaching candidates are gone.
Well, and also, by the way, a big part of coaching and coach hires is staff. I mean, the good assistants get gobbled up. Somebody reported yesterday about Vrabel. I forget who it was because I always forget who it was. But that Vrabel, you know, has some promising assistants lined up too for his job. And I'm like, ooh, who are we talking about? Yeah, who are we talking about here, Todd Downing? But seriously, that's another thing. Like, timing is, you got to go fast. So, yeah, I mean, it's, I'm with you. My number one on the dumb list is the splitting. You know, if you're going to move on, move on. Let me address this, Robbie, on the text line. Driven by what's behind OlsonCountyHyundai.com. Texter says, you're supposed to be a capital J journalist. Stop using scapegoat that way. Definition of scapegoat is a person who's blamed for the wrongdoings, mistakes, or faults of others, especially for reasons of expediency. So I've said, like, Rand would be scapegoat. So here's the thing. This came up last year when Vrabel got fired, and I think I wrote scapegoat in The Athletic, and people got all over me too. It doesn't mean to me that the person is blameless, okay? But if you are fired, then you basically, that's, isn't that saying that
saying it's all you?
It's all you.
Yeah.
So I believe it's being used correctly, Texter. Sorry. By the way, Justin also says, different dad here. Another biscuit is our 7 a.m. car ritual. Tell the suit to add it back. Do you hear this, Chase? The people want the biscuit back.
I think we might have to make a stand here. Get the biscuit back in the program. We'll see what we can do.
Put the biscuit in the basket.
Yes. Thank you. I got a Will Levis take that I'm not sure you're going to like. Okay. We'll get into that. Take your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025. Our phone number. Paul Kuharsky will be with us at 7:30. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Titans lose, fall to 3-14 to close out the regular season. They've got the number one overall pick in the NFL draft coming up in April. Paul Kuharsky will be with us at 7:30. Corey Curtis coming up at 8 o'clock. Y'all have a take on Will Levis.
Let's hear it.
Yesterday needs to be the last time we see Will Levis in a Titans uniform. And I understand that contractually, he's in a good spot to be on the team next year. Doesn't cost you a whole lot. And he's there, I guess, as a fail-safe if things go poorly with either the veteran that you bring in or if you decide to go the drafting route, could he serve as the backup quarterback? Theoretically, yes. But I'm approaching this from a couple of different angles. Number one, just it's a weird situation. And I think a lot of times in the NFL, when you run into situations like this where the guy that was drafted to be your franchise quarterback ultimately doesn't work out to be your franchise quarterback, I think a lot of times it's just better to cut bait and get that out of here and get that out of the room and not even have that lingering around at that point. And it's not a slight on Levis. Like, he's not a bad guy. He's not a bad teammate. None of that. But sometimes I think it's just better to move on in situations like that. And number two, and probably most importantly, I don't know that Will Levis is really a one-on-one in my backup quarterback. He doesn't take care of the football. And if I'm having a backup quarterback, I need somebody that I know takes care of the football. Like, very rarely are you going to find a backup quarterback that could come in and elevate your team and just, like, lead you to wins and throw the ball over the yard and make big plays that way. And maybe Levis can do that if he's on. But he turns the ball over too much. I think we've seen that this year. I don't know how much better that's going to get as he moves forward here. And I want my backup quarterback to be reliable from the standpoint of, maybe you're not making all these wow plays, but you're also not handing the football to the other team left and right. And the more I think about it, the more I think yesterday needs to be the last time we see Will Levis in a Titans uniform.
Oh, but you love Jameis Winston.
Oh,
boy, I do love Jameis Winston. What a double standard. No, I hear what you're saying. Levis would probably agree with you, too. You know?
Oh, I'm sure he would.
I'm sure if you're him, he'd prefer. Not that I don't see Levis getting a legit starting opportunity. I think he's going to be like Mac Jones and Kenny Pickett and these other guys who just get, you're going to go find a backup job. That is an interesting thing for other teams, too. Like, is this who you want as your QB2? I mean, there is talent there. So, you know, certainly, I mean, I almost wonder if it's like he's somebody's, like the kid at Cleveland a little bit, you know, Dorian
Thompson Robinson.
Yeah, why do I struggle? DTR. I always say like DMR, DTR, who, you know, their third guy, kind of developmental guy, felt he had a lot of talent, but you don't necessarily feel comfortable with him as the backup. Jameis Winston was the backup. It's going to be interesting how the Titans view him, because I agree. I mean, I think your backup quarterback ideally in this league is a veteran game manager, unless it's a young guy. I mean, the Packers went with Malik Willis this year. Worked out pretty well for them. He played well yesterday, by the way, I guess. I didn't really get to see that game. That game?
Yeah. The Chicago Bears won that game.
Man.
I'm glad something good finally happened there.
But, I don't hate your take. You know, it's he's an interesting situation. That's a good question for PK coming up next, because PK has said, you know, you could see in a couple of years Levis being one of those guys who gets another chance somewhere and it kind of comes together for him. It's possible, but I think he'd like to move on, and just a total fresh start in that room might be best thing for the Titans.
Well, I think it would be, and again, like, depending on what your strategy is at quarterback, let's say it is a drafter. Like, you draft your quarterback, and it's Shedeur Sanders, Cam Ward, whoever. Like, do you want Will Levis to be the backup? I would rather have a veteran mentorish type backup. I mean, I guess like Mason Rudolph than I would Will Levis when it comes to if you're going that route. And if it's a veteran quarterback, it changes the equation there. Like, if you bring in Derek Carr, and like that's your plan. Okay. Then you're going with Derek Carr. He's going to be your starter. But again, it goes back to what I brought up earlier. Like, is Will Levis a suitable backup quarterback? To me, he turns the ball over too much. And that's not what I want from my backup quarterback. Now, he may also make some throws that most backup quarterbacks in the league can't make. I understand that. But to me, it's too much of the bad that offsets the good from a turnover perspective with him for me to make that work. And then you've got all the stuff in the locker room, too, of, yeah, you know, he was the guy that we drafted to be the franchise quarterback, and found out pretty quickly that wasn't the case. And I just don't know. I don't know if there's very many examples that you can point to over the course of history where that ends up being a great spot, a great situation to be in the following year.
Yeah, I definitely, with the, with the idea of the young QB, you know, because the thing is, you know, I mean, Levis would probably start the season, right?
And that's I don't know.
I mean, maybe not.
Number one overall pick, be a lot of pressure to start. I mean, you have to do it, though.
Yeah. But either way, you know, it's like it's very possible that Levis, you know, is like ahead of that quarterback.
Sure.
And then it's almost problematic, you know, as opposed to maybe a little bit more of a veteran. So
a move has been made in the NFL. Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network pointing it out. Not that this is some huge surprise, but the Jags have fired Doug Peterson. So okay. Doug Peterson now out as the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
And no front office firing.
There is nothing on the balky part of this at the moment.
Interesting. Because that's another thing with that is like the whole, is it better for them? Is it better for their purposes of hiring a coach if they have a full, clean slate
right
there too? The whole different timelines thing.
So now two coaching moves have been made in the last 24 hours here. Jerod Mayo fired from New England, and the Jaguars have fired Doug Peterson from the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now you've got that. Jets have already fired their coach earlier in the year. I mean, there's going to be a pretty good amount of openings, I think, here to sift through. And then the natural question becomes, like, let's say Amy gets to the decision where she is cleaning house. Right, what's your target? What's your target for the next head coach? I'll tell you, guy, that if they did make that decision, I'd like to see get some consideration. What about Joe Brady? Let me make a Joe Brady and the job that he's done with Buffalo since becoming OC there. I think he's going to be a head coach at some point. Is it going to be this offseason? I don't know. But he, I think, is really intriguing.
Yeah, he's excellent. Another great – brings to mind a great Stilly take of Burrow is, he's completely system-proof. And also Brady had nothing to do with the LSU. It was just – yeah, Brady – Burrow overcame Brady. No, Brady's excellent. I'm now – as a head coach, I don't know.
I don't know.
I mean, sometimes those guys, you can have a great OC, a great designer, play caller, and isn't up for the whole head coaching thing. Maybe we're seeing that here. I don't know. I think Brian Callahan will come back to try to prove that's not the case. I hear you. I think Brady's definitely going to get a job. Someone on the text line, by the way, said the Titans need to get a play caller in with Brian Callahan. I don't think that's
if you need to do that, issue. You probably just need to go ahead and move on from the head coach.
Exactly. And by the way, the flea flicker screen yesterday was freaking awesome.
I enjoyed
that play.
Yeah,
that's a great play. The linebackers are bailing out of there. It's like, this is a great idea. I've never seen that before.
No, I haven't either.
Good stuff. No, I don't think the play calling is the problem with the Tennessee Titans. I think it's the people running the plays.
I think the players are also
a
big part of that for sure. Again, another domino falling with Doug Peterson out in Jacksonville. He won't be the last one today. So what is this going to look like? By the way, Tom Pelissero just putting it out there, a statement from Shad Khan, the owner in Jacksonville. Trent Baalke is staying. So Trent Baalke will be retained.
That's the statement? Baalke stays. The end.
It is a long statement, but in that statement, Trent Baalke is staying on as general manager of the Jags.
There you go. So,
Chris Ballard, Trent Baalke, just a lot of job security down in the AFC South right now.
Yeah. I mean, if those guys can keep their jobs forever and ever, Titans gonna keep shaking up that front office?
That's an interesting question. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans landing the number one overall pick, his thoughts on what could happen today on Black Monday with the Titans. Is Brian Callahan safe? Is Rand Carthon safe? We'll get more into that with PK coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. Titans lose to Houston. They finished the season 3-14, the number one overall pick coming their way in the NFL draft. And to help us talk about that and more, we head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com. PK, good morning. How are you?
Morning, guys. I'm well. How you doing?
No, great. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So, PK, let's just start right off the top. It is Black Monday in the NFL. Doug Peterson just got fired 10 minutes ago by the Jacksonville Jaguars. That will not be the last move made today. Where do you think things currently stand with Brian Callahan, Rand Carthon, and Chad Brinker?
Well, I still think Callahan is very likely safe. I don't know about the other two, but this is just a guess on my part. I think that Amy Adams Strunk would be having meetings, and I wouldn't be surprised if it took a little while for a conclusion there. That necessarily come out.
I think we lost PK there for a second.
Is he trying to get out of this interview?
There you go. PK's back. PK, do we have you on the line?
Is that better?
Yeah, you're back.
I'm not trying to get out of it, Joe. I would never turn down an opportunity to chat with you. I think that it may not all be finalized today if something's happening.
Okay. Well, this sounds like a little bit of a pivot on your part. I mean, I was under the impression nothing was happening. You don't sound so bullish on nothing happening now.
I left open a possibility that she could do anything, and I remain with the possibility that she could do anything. I don't know her timetable. I don't know her thinking. Anybody that claims that they do is pretending.
PK, on the number one overall pick front, so obviously it's been a mess of a journey to get to this point. Now we're here. You've got the number one overall pick. How do you view the opportunity in front of the Titans to use that to reshape this roster moving forward here? And do you think having the number one overall pick and the responsibility that comes with that could influence the decision from A.B. Adam Strunk as it relates to Carthon and Brinker?
I don't know to what degree she, you know, I know that a lot of people are like, hey, you know, if you were to clean house or whatever, you get a fresh start with the number one pick. This draft just isn't that great. The quarterbacks are not great. I'll be posting from Blake Bedingfield, you know, not too long about, a 19-year scout's view of the draft. But I can preview it that he ranks it, you know, somewhere between the last two worst drafts of the last, 20 years. So I don't know that it's going to be as dynamically franchise changing as everyone would like it to be. They certainly could spin it that way. And they'll very shortly be talking about the hope, and the promise that comes with having had such a terrible year. But I don't know if it matters, and I'm not saying this is a pass for Rand or Carthon or anybody, but I don't think this pick is going to change things so dramatically. It's not going to be Dan Marino or John Elway or Peyton Manning.
Dan Marino didn't go that high in the draft, Paul.
Sorry.
But I understand. I mean, it was 40-some years ago. I'm with you. Obviously, the Goff thing was – well, it was Goff and Wentz, right? It was the Goff-Wentz debate. Yeah. And Jeff Fisher obviously loved Goff. I read a piece that you wrote back when that trade happened earlier in the show about what they got. It's not going to be a haul like that, but it's at least an opportunity, right? I mean – at this point, and we have 4 months of doing this, but just your thoughts on those two QBs or anybody else in this draft who you think is worthy of a non-QB who's worthy of that pick?
Well, I mean, I think from my stance at this point in time, I would love for them to get out, move down a little bit, and end up with Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter. Hunter, I think, can be a real splash player. Unfortunately, that's one spot where you're pretty good, but you make way for a guy of that caliber. Carter, I mean, they haven't drafted edge player in the first round since forever. I think Derek Morgan was 2010, and Javon Kearse was 1999. They need impact edge rusher. If you could wiggle down a little bit there with people who want the quarterbacks, that would be tremendous. But if you're stuck at number one and you can't do anything and you don't love the quarterbacks, those would be the two guys that I think I'd be looking at. But I'd pray that people love those quarterbacks and get giddy and want up in there. I'm not fully versed in either quarterback, but I think Sanders may be playing at the best level we're going to see him play at. And I think Ward, will make some spectacular plays, but he'll also make some spectacularly bad plays. And if you're looking to get more accurate and better decision making, I don't know that that's what you're getting walking in the door anyway.
So, PK, if this plays out and Brian Callahan is back as head coach of the Titans next year, obviously they've got a ton to do this offseason. How short do you think his leash is heading into next year, given just the abject failure that this year was for this team?
Yeah, I certainly don't think they go into the season thinking that way, but obviously if things go badly, things can turn in a hurry. And we've seen it, saw it happen to Ken Whisenhunt, who wasn't Amy Adams Strunk's hire, so maybe he'll get more than that. But I'm presuming he gets a better roster, that they address key positions. And look, they have to show some sort of consistent identity and play to it on a week-to-week basis. And if they're not doing that, if they're not winning, conversation in Nashville is going to be about his job status from week one. And it's going to have to be in her head, I think. So that's the awkwardness of keeping him. But I would say to people, too, you have to allow for the fact that he gets better. I was thinking of this last night in Derrick Henry terms. Derrick Henry, and this was not all Matt LaFleur by any means, Derrick Henry was not a good running back in his first year. Derrick Henry was not a good running back in his first year plus. And we all know what happened to Derrick Henry, right? Derrick Henry got a lot better. And you have to allow for the possibility of people to get a lot better. And so if he stays, you have to allow for the possibility they can get a lot better.
By the way, Brian Callahan's press conference today set for 1:30, the end of season presser. So that would, I guess, signal to me that he's not getting fired today, would be my guess. Joe, go ahead.
Is Rand talking?
I have not seen that.
Okay.
That'll be later in the week. If it happens, it's traditionally later in the week. So that's not a surprise. It wouldn't be scheduled for Monday.
Also, per Nick here on the board, Daboll and the Giants are keeping their whole thing together, which is interesting. So it's good.
This is all the rage, keeping people.
Yeah,
well, outside of the people that have been fired, Joe, it is the rage to keep the people that have not been fired.
That's a very good point by you. Also, I really love the comparison of Brian Callahan's coaching to Derrick Henry's running backing. That's a very interesting one. So he's about to. So what you're saying, he's about to rip off a Hall of Fame career here right before our eyes. Is that? Can
I'm
I quote you on that?
Okay. I'm not saying that. I'm saying we have to allow. I know you work with somebody that doesn't allow for the possibility of anybody to get better, and I'm allowing for the possibility of somebody getting better.
You talking about Robbie?
Wow.
are you invoking Still Billy again? All right. I got a question from the text line for you, PK, from Robert. Text line driven
Hit
by
Wilson
County. countyhyundai.com. Why do I struggle with that? I don't know. But Robert says, what about Jeffrey Simmons' comment, and I missed this, PK, so hopefully you were there, that he didn't understand how the game was played yesterday, almost like the goal was to get the number one pick instead of winning. Are you familiar with this? Does this bring any kind of bell with you?
Yeah, I kind of brushed on it secondhand, because I have chosen to start to avoid Jeffrey Simmons post-game. I don't care. Like, do we care how they played and what Jeffrey Simmons thought about how they played? Everybody wanted him to lose, and now we're going to criticize him because Jeffrey Simmons thought that some guys didn't play to win, which I don't know. I didn't see anybody laying down playing dead. Did you?
No, I did not. No. I mean, I thought I saw a crappy football team lose like they always do.
Yeah.
They've done a lot of that this year.
That wasn't a tanking offense. That was the Titans' offense.
Right, the Patriots tried to tank, and then Joe Milton went all pro on them. So,
PK, is yesterday's game the last game that we will see Will Levis in a Titans uniform? Should it be the last game we'll see Will Levis in a Titans uniform?
I heard your comments, Robbie, and they make a lot of sense. They make a lot of sense. The trouble is you have to go out and get somebody who fits the description that you want for a backup quarterback, a guy who's going to come in and protect the ball and all of that. You know, Mason Rudolph was supposed to be that guy, and how'd he do with the turnovers? I mean, he was a big contributor on the turnover front. So you're wanting them to go out and get a new starter and a new backup. In this quarterback market, where are you finding the one? Better yet, where are you finding the second guy when you have this guy under a comfortable contract? And so I don't know that it's so easy to just get rid of him. There is some value in in having a guy that still might be able to do some work behind the scenes and improve. And I don't know that you're getting anything of value for him, and I don't know who you're getting to replace him. You know, it's a tough market to need a quarterback in, better yet to need two.
How would you compare the atmosphere at Nissan Stadium yesterday to anything else you've seen like it?
I mean, I've been on downtown walks in Nashville that were more, there was more buzz and more people. It was what they deserved and what they should have expected. I will say, and John Glennon pointed this out to me when he was done talking about Trey Avery,
yes,
that the people in the building weren't really, for the most part, though they did boo one or two key moments, rooting for a loss. You know, he said the people that want the loss didn't come here to root for loss. They stayed home to root for loss. The people here actually want to see them win. And it was hard to tell because, you know, you can't hear a couple hundred people in a big stadium like that. But I thought maybe he was onto something.
The broadcast, like, they, you know how sometimes they certainly adjust the volume, like if it's a crazy loud stadium, they'll turn it down. They must have had that just absolutely cranked to 11 because it sounded like, you know,
need more microphones.
They made some noise on some third downs, you know. I'm like,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, late second half, Johnny, David Beauclair, and I looked at the upper deck on the far side. I set the over-under for 250, and we settled on over maybe 300 to 400 people.
Ooh.
This is after the game's in hand and after there had been some serious torrential rain. But maybe 400 people in the whole upper deck on the other side.
That's a tough one. That is a tough one. PK, last thing for you here. You've talked a lot about the Raiders' job in connection with Mike Vrabel. Now that we know the Patriots' job is open, how do you view what his options look like as we would assume he's set to become an NFL head coach somewhere in the next few days?
I think Tom Brady better get to work firing Antonio Pierce. But I am surprised that there hasn't been more talk of an immediate or near immediate hiring. I guess the process automatically has to slow down.
You got to do the process
for the Rooney Rule. But I think I'd be very surprised if he doesn't land in New England with Las Vegas as a slight percentage. And if this was a handshake deal that's already in the bank, how beautiful is it that he went to New York and did some intel on the Jets on his way into the Patriots head coach?
It's like Belichick. He's totally just following Belichick's footsteps.
Guys,
right?
What's your quarterback plan? All right. Yeah. Just tell us.
Let me see that film. Let me see that background film.
PK, great stuff, man. We'll talk to you on Wednesday. Looking forward to it. Should be a lot of fun coming up on Wednesday with you on the show. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you then.
Great. Great stuff, guys. I look forward to listening to the rest of the show. Thanks.
Thank you. Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com. Our guests will have the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next. Corey Curtis at 8 o'clock. Taking your thoughts on the Titans throughout the show. 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
By the way, Keith, real quick on the text line. My kids in the car just asked me, what happened to another biscuit? Chase is not giving the people what they want.
The children are very upset. Let's head back.
I'll say it. I'll just say it on my own every day now. Another biscuit? Yeah.
In other ways, I think these people have suffered enough.
By the way, Justin also says, different dad here. Another biscuit is our 7 a.m. car ritual. Tell the suit to add it back. Put the biscuit in the basket.
Yes. Thank you. It is that time of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road, sponsored by First Horizon. Big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get-it-all. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. Joe, the floor is yours. I turn things over to you.
Thank you. I was actually going to talk about biscuits some more, but since you played my biscuit talk from earlier, I think how much biscuit talk is too much biscuit talk in, for one show.
Does that limit exist?
I mean, I guess I can test the limits. I'd love to know, actually. Like, what? Why was I talking about biscuits? Do you remember the conversation?
I have no idea. I've thought that from the moment we put that in there. I was like, what was he talking about?
Another biscuit? Yeah!
Oh, what
was the conversation?
I have a brief understanding. I remember when I was cutting that, It was when we were having a conversation about Tavondre Sweat. And I think it was about him being overweight.
Oh, good. Oh, well, that's nice.
Something like that where it was like, hey, let him have another biscuit, you know?
Yeah, no, I should be talking about other people being overweight. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, gout still over here.
Double gout. Gout squared. We're gonna keep it with the Titans today for the rant.
Yep.
Okay. You know, PK can cry if he doesn't think it's ranty enough. But I mean, this is my rant is very simple and it's very quick, and it's like, guys, the Titans didn't quit yesterday. I've been going back and forth on the text line with Adam. Have I ranted about Adam in Portland?
Probably before, yes.
Okay. Well, I love Adam. Adam's great. We don't always agree. We've gone back and forth here on the text line today, which you wouldn't know because you're ice out of the text line.
Locked out.
Chase, you know, gets rid of
Nick
the biscuit.
Promised me a code. Nothing.
Chase gets rid of the biscuit and keeps you iced out on the text line. Apparently, I don't know. Is he afraid that you're going to
scream
and swear at people? That's what I do.
I kind of like you being in charge of the text line.
But the back and forth is this. They couldn't get a first down on the Texans backups. They quit. Look, they stink. They suck. They went 3-14 this year. Oh, man, they must have not wanted to play. They're 3-14. They're the worst team in the NFL. We're talking about the number one pick today. You know who gets the number one pick? The worst team in the NFL. They're terrible. I said this all last week. I've said this recently. I do love the NFL. I love when these teams at the end of the year totally screw themselves over. Like the Patriots. You know, I don't know if that was Gerard Mayo's call before he got fired or if there was a little bit of, hey, you know, maybe take Drake out. Why would you rest Drake May?
I mean, I didn't understand that at the time, but I was glad to see old Joe get in there.
It's not for the playoffs because you also stink. So they went to they sat him down to make sure they'd get the number one pick, and yeah. Milton went out there throwing lasers all over the field.
He went 22 of 29 for 241, a touchdown, a quarterback rating of 111.4.
He was fantastic. And then when they make – like he make big plays or they make big plays on defense, I swear the crowd was kind of like,
great.
I mean, it just – and so the Titans tried to win yesterday. I mean, again, go back and rewind any part of the game and understand the force and the impact of these dudes smash into each other. Like, go – I mean, there were some headhunting plays yesterday in that game too on the Titans part. Like, they tried to win. They suck, okay? So the players do not take part in this stuff. They don't. They hate it. They say, oh, hey, let's get a good pick so he can take your job. They want to absolutely undercut it if at all possible. So I just – that one's just got to go. It's got to go, guys. It's just – that's not worth our time, even though I'm now using this rant on it.
On the Brian Callahan front, so the press conference – Jim Wyatt put this out there a few minutes ago. The end-of-season press conference for – Brian Callahan scheduled for 1:30 today. Now, Joe, that would signal to me that Brian Callahan is not going anywhere and is not getting fired. Now, having said that, I did watch the Chicago Bears trot out Matt Eberflus earlier this year and then fire him after a press conference. So, it doesn't automatically mean that, but that's a pretty good sign that I think Brian Callahan is not going anywhere and will be the Titans head coach next year.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, maybe Kevin Warren just wanted to – one more time, let me explain – how you completely botched the end of that game? Oh, yeah, it still doesn't add up. All right,
you're gone.
Yeah, no, I would think that, in all seriousness, yeah, that Brian Callahan is probably safe. Everybody else, you tell me. You know, PK was a little bit coy, but I feel like he's been a little bit more.
The vibe that I'm getting, not just from PK, but from everybody right now, it feels like the Rand Carthon part of this is a little bit more in flux than maybe we thought heading into today. That's just the feeling that I'm getting. Is that true? Does that mean he's getting fired? I have no idea. I have no idea what this is going to look like. But it just feels like that's a little bit maybe more in flux than we thought heading into this.
Yeah. It makes sense that the coach doesn't get fired after 1 year. Although the Patriots just did that. By the way, with Robert Kraft, you know, making sure he was the heir apparent, had it in his contract apparently all this time, and now it's like, oh, no, actually, no, bye.
Yeah.
Which is can only mean one thing to me, which is that it's because someone else is going to hire Vrabel, and they're not going to let it happen. That's seriously why they did it. But anyway, you would think that now Callahan is fine, and it makes sense.
And so front office split, all fired. Just keep the analytics people. I mean, what are we doing here, Amy?
It's a good question. Are we going to hear from Amy? Here's the other thing I've noticed.
We got the number one pick.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
Here's the other thing I've noticed. You know, Jim Irsay put out a statement. Shad Khan put out a statement. Giants ownership just put out a statement. A lot of statements being put out right now. I'm sure we'll get something to that effect from Amy Adams Strunk. When will it be? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Something. It would be great. It would be great to hear something about something once we get a determination. What do the Giants say? It's interesting when they put out a statement. It's interesting when you put out a statement when you don't do anything, you know?
It is,
folks. I know you wanted these people fired, but we're not firing them.
I need to go read it, but very interesting on that front. By the way, if you missed it, Doug Peterson fired down in Jacksonville. So not a surprise there, but Doug Peterson fired. This was the statement from John Mara. Now that our season, who is the Giants president, now that our season is over, we felt it necessary to make this statement. Joe Schoen and Brian Daboll will continue in their respective roles with the organization. As disappointing as the results this season have been, Steve and I remain confident in the process that Joe and Brian have implemented in their vision for our team. We look forward to the future achieving all the results that we all desire.
There
that was
go.
The statement.
All right, so you got – so there you go. Ownership letting you know. And the Colts, I got to see – did Jim put together a little video for the people?
I think it was just a statement. Unfortunately, no video with the Jimi Hendrix guitar.
I mean, the Colts, man. What do Colts fans think today?
I don't know.
I really thought that, yeah, I wasn't sure about Steichen, and maybe I still think he's decent, but
Ballard's job security is unbelievable.
Chris Ballard is absolutely untouchable. How could he not be fired?
It's crazy. By the way, some news for you. Our fearless leader Chase McCabe texted me. He says, "I'm absolutely dying that somebody noticed the biscuit thing. I'll put it back." Is what he said. We're getting it back.
Wow, we're gonna get the biscuit back along with the Ghost Runner on second.
Yes,
can we have both?
I think we need both.
It's exciting times.
Corey Curtis will be with us coming up next. We'll get into all things Titans with him. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.